Hi, I'm Mel Majoros. I am a 7-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. Talking today to an old, well, I don't want to say old, but a dear friend, Elisa Savaretti of My Hope Chest. She's got a new, yeah, we don't want to say old because, you know, we're only old. Well, we're not old anyway. She's of My Hope Chest. We're going to talk about that in a second. And she has a new documentary coming out, Breastless in America. How are you today, Elisa?
I'm doing great, Mel. Thanks. And older and wiser. It's always okay to say that.
That's much better. So let's talk a little bit about My Hope Chest for those of you who maybe not remember. Elisa was on the show several years ago. And then we'll jump into the documentary that you're working on.
Okay. Well, first of all, thanks again for having me on. And it's good to hear your voice. And I do keep up with the Cancer Warrior. So, you know, thank you so much for the good work that you do, telling me the important stories that we all need to hear. My Hope Chest is a 12-year-old now, not-for-profit organization. And we are the only national organization funding breast reconstructive surgery for uninsured and now underinsured breast cancer survivors. So our services pick up where all other breast cancer organizations leave off, providing the final step of breast cancer treatment, which is breast reconstruction. And by the way, breast reconstruction, for those of you that are listening that may not know, is covered by insurance since 1998, which is the Women's Health and Cancer Rights Act mandated way back when, that if your breasts are removed, by golly, it's a part of treatment to have them restored. And My Hope Chest is really just picking up where a lot of people have fallen through the cracks. And for one reason or another, they did not get their reconstructive surgery at time of mastectomy. They didn't want it. They couldn't get it. They had insurance. They lost insurance. So we help predominantly with delayed breast reconstructive surgery. That's who we are. We get most of our referrals from the largest breast cancer organization, Susan G. Komen, and the American Cancer Society that do not fund breast reconstructive surgery. And that has helped develop, which is not a happy topic, a wait list of women missing one or both breasts all over America. So I don't know if you've seen our map, Mel, lately on our website.
Oh, no.
But there are pinpoints that show just a sampling of how many ladies, mostly ladies, are waiting all across the country for My Hope Chest to garner enough money and to find a surgeon in their city and make it happen for them. And, you know, this really shouldn't be happening. Breast cancer is the most heavily funded cause in our country, and there's plenty of funds out there to help women be restored in body, mind, and spirit. So that's our mission.
Just that? Is that all?
That's just it, man. I really wanted to get a good picture of, you know, this is not just another charity. Like, I didn't really just say, hey, I got breast cancer and, you know, I really want to be involved. I mean, my charities are children, not children, but animals. Mm-hmm. Now, the children aren't great, mind you. But animals and the military are really my causes. Breast cancer picked me.
Right.
And if anybody else was doing this in 2003, if there was any help or hope, you know, for myself or others, I wouldn't have, you know, forged this crusade and stuck to it for so long because it's really, really hard. But they're not, and still not yet. You know, there is some funding here and there, but no formal large organization besides us yet nationally. So that's what we do. You got a glimpse of our project that we're working on now.
Yes.
And it's not just now, but actually conceived several years ago about trying to break real news. How do we go, you know, viral with this story that's affecting so many? And so the documentary idea came up, and we've been shooting some video of patients over several years. And Breastless in America, Still Waiting is the name that we gave it.
Good title.
We actually had a short, if you will, like really a long trailer, but a docu-short in a recent film festival in Tampa Bay called the Gasparilla International Film Festival that's going to be in its 10th year next year. And that was just last month. And so, you know, Breastless in America was on the big screen. And even though it was short and sweet, it really is giving me personally a lot of hope that with the help of, we're working with a videographer, filmmaker, Kenny Strawn of Sunstream Video, who shot documentaries before, and he's in high demand, travels to all sorts of medical conferences, and she shoots Botticelli, big people, and he's done a documentary with National Geographic years ago. So he knows the industry very well, and we're very blessed to have him. He's been donating his time thus far. But now as we're getting ready to have to travel, we're going to start a Kickstarter campaign. We'll get back to that. But that's what the project is. You know, we're starting with some stories of our own people that, of course, are on our wait list. We had stopped taking some applications for a period of time, but we've restarted now as well. So we want to find some compelling stories that may be starting right at the very beginning. Maybe they're finishing their breast cancer treatment. Maybe they're finishing chemo, or they know they're going to start. We are going to be looking at those stories, you know, to tell and to share of women that are, you know, facing mastectomy or have had mastectomy, and they've been spending X amount of time, like I did, you know, nearly 3 years without their breasts. So hopefully some of your listeners, you know, might be able to hear this and and send us an email.
So how many patients do you have so far for your documentary, Survivors?
I believe we have three, and I think that we're only going to have probably 5 to 6 total.
Mm-hmm.
Telling the story of we have a gal right now. If you look up YouTube, My Hope Chest on YouTube, and there's Angie's story. And Angie's a gal that we're getting ready to help in Orlando. And she's actually an injured person. I want to speak to that right now. So originally we never helped. We didn't need to help injured breast cancer survivors. But with government health care coming and has afforded some people insurance now. But the challenge that the insured breast cancer individual is facing is that they don't have their high deductible. They're maxed out of pocket of, you know, $6,000. Mm-hmm. So now My Hope Chest is, you know, amended our granting criteria to help those with insurance that need co-pays. It's a new horizon for us. And Angie in Orlando is going to be the first patient. We call them clients because we're not a healthcare provider, so they really are clients to us. The first client that we're going to be helping, and her surgery is on Thursday, May the 14th. She is over the moon and stars. She has just been, when you watch that story, I'll put it back up on our Facebook as well, but it's a YouTube Angie story and My Hope Chest. It's a really gut-wrenching. She started her reconstruction and got her had her tissue expanders put in, and then lost her insurance and spent a couple of years with those expanders in, making her, they were uncomfortable and painful for her. A lot of women have experienced that, you know, mm-hmm. pain with these tissue expanders. She had told us, you know, she hadn't let her husband see her naked in like 2 years since she had it done.
Wow.
Really affects, you know, having a mastectomy and looking in the mirror for those that have had delayed and seeing a scar where your breast should be or two scars. Breast reconstruction is a very personal choice, and we don't insinuate that a woman isn't perfect, whole, and complete if she doesn't desire reconstructive surgery. That said, we exist because there are thousands that do and that are sending us emails and letters saying, please help me, I feel less than whole.
Right.
And Angie was one of those gals. And for her not to, you know, be intimate or whatever, let her husband see her in the light is pitiful. It's so sad to me. And so I'm really happy for her that we have a new surgeon with a new hospital. And Angie is just super excited. We did already, like I said, start filming, you know, her pre-surgery, and we're going to continue following that. But that's really what the documentary will comprise, as well as some statistics, which really aren't out there. My Hope Chest has to, how many women are living without their breasts that don't want to be in America? That number actually doesn't exist yet. There has not been, in the whole area of breast reconstruction, education, and services, it's not here. In 2015, hardly a topic that's been discussed. Types of reconstruction have been discussed, you know, what are the surgeries and all of that, but not, what about those that have fallen through the cracks? We launched a study, actually, with two organizations that I'm sure you're familiar with. In 2008, it was called the Breast Reconstruction Study with the Young Survival Coalition in New York and Living Beyond Breast Cancer in Pennsylvania. Are you familiar with those charities?
I am. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they helped launch a 25-question study, and we're going to be circling back with them again to resurrect that. And what it showed at that time, it was a little over 400 individuals that took the study. It was about 7 out of 10 said they would have had reconstructive surgery at time of mastectomy if they were able to do so. So therein proved the need, you know, for our services. But we were trying to, you know, we have a number. We said in 2010, more than 22,000 uninsured breast cancer survivors had a mastectomy. Mm-hmm. But since then, we really haven't been able to find any information now. Plus, there are more people that are, you know, insured. This data just is really going to be challenging for us to get. So that's our next step here. With the documentary is procuring the information that we need. So if there's any researchers out there that want to jump on board, or, you know, people like that.
It must be hard with the advent of the Affordable Care Act with people getting insurance, but it might not be the type of insurance that would be beneficial to someone with cancer. Because I know a lot of it is catastrophic, like the people who get, I mean, I'm not dissing on the Affordable Care Act one way or the other, or saying it's good or bad, but I think a lot of the insurance that is cheaper may not necessarily cover a lot of things. It might just be like, oh, like you're in a car accident or something, we'll cover that. You know what
I'm
saying?
Well, that's the fact. I mean, you know, people are getting insurance and they're getting the bare minimum because that's what they can afford.
Right.
And, you know, just as in any insurance policy, whether whatever, you get what you pay for, you know, and look, I'm sure that there's elements. Who has actually read that 2,000-page document? I'm
exactly.
Not quite sure myself. But for those that have been helped, I'm certainly grateful.
Absolutely.
For that.
Absolutely.
Is it a perfect science? I don't think so. Not yet. And it remains to be seen. And neither one of us are going to speak to, you know, what will happen. Mm-hmm. I can only speak to it's imperfect in the capacity of breast reconstruction for people that are, say a woman's making $30,000 a year and she's got two kids at home or what have you, she doesn't have $6,000 in the bank. She doesn't have a spare $6,000 for her deductible. So insurance or not, it may pay for her to go to, you know, general doctor's visits or whatever, but she still can't get her reconstructive surgery without help. So, you know, that's all I speak to. I speak to trying to give women closure like I got after 3 years when I got my reconstructive surgery. And I'd like to do it through this documentary, Breastless in America, Still Waiting, and to tell the story properly.
Right.
You know, we want to make it not only a documentary now, but I'm hoping to make a 20-minute short, which, you know, for news magazines, like 60 Minutes, 2020, those types of shows. It is my dream, it is my prayer that this story gets picked up on some national news on any show that, you know, Harpo or Oprah or OWN Network, I don't really care, but we have to start helping women move past breast cancer completely. It has to be something that's happening now in 2015. The American Society of Plastic Surgeons, you may or may not know this, declared Breast Reconstruction Awareness Day 2 years ago.
No, I didn't know that.
So what is breast? It actually started in Canada. So the idea was conceived, you know, out of our country, but was resurrected, you know, in America by the ASPS. And their platform is to increase the education of breast reconstruction options. For my Hope Chest, hearing about Breast Reconstruction Awareness Day, are you kidding? It was year 10 for us of a little grassroots charity that's been flying in the shadows of big pink ribbon organizations. We're like, OMG, this is terrific news. We can talk about breast reconstruction and the importance of it as a part of breast cancer treatment. So it's not really their platform to talk about the people not getting reconstruction, but at least it's getting on the slates now that, okay, here is a part of treatment, and this is what it involves. We actually received a grant from the ASPS 2 years ago to produce a breast reconstruction educational brochure. And those are small pamphlets that we send out to breast centers, to individuals, to, you know, hospitals, for women going through, and oncology offices, people that are not yet ready for breast reconstruction, just to get a simple overview of something in their hands. You can look up anything on the internet these days, right?
Yes.
But there wasn't really any breast reconstruction small brochure that people could take. So we're really proud to have that. If anybody wants one of those or a stack of those or what have you, we do have those to send out. But that's what Bra Day is. What does that do for us? We encourage people to do events for My Hope Chest on Bra Day if they're doing anything, you know, a walkathon. They do, you know, Pink and Yellow Balloon Day. Some of those ideas are on our website, and that's really been successful for helping us raise money these past 2 years. We're really, you know, in a pickle for funds. That's why we have a wait list. I didn't start this charity to have a wait list of women.
No, of course not.
All over the country. It doesn't make me happy. It makes me sad, you know? But, you know, rallying people to help us not only, you know, just raise funds in general. I know that we're speaking about, you know, the documentary. Mm-hmm. And that's a separate fundraising campaign. We are going to start a Kickstarter campaign for that this month. So for any of you that support the arts or what have you, and you care about
that. Well,
wait
a minute. Who doesn't support the arts and cancer awareness? Listening to my show, you have to.
Thanks for that. That's right. And it's just, you know, we're just going to start with a small $10,000 right now. And that's going to help get the filmmaker, you know, to the states that need to be, you know, to do a couple of interviews and, you know, the time that goes involved, because he's really donated his time, but we need to get editing. And it's a process producing a film. Mm-hmm. $10,000 is nothing. You know, the project's about a $50,000 project, but I'm going to be happy to see us meet that goal of $10,000.
Exactly.
To be able to move this thing. The goal is to finish Breastless in America this year.
That's a very lofty goal.
Year. Yeah. Well, you know what? It's a lofty goal, but, you know, once we get some funding, it's just getting some surgeries in there. I have to start getting, you know, setting up this study again. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to be reaching out to the university. I have a researcher friend in Michigan, Michigan State. And there had been some breast cancer research done there. So I'm going to reach out to them to try to get some more of the arm of the research and data that we need. This is going to come from the people. But it's a lofty goal, but it just needs to happen, because I just don't want to go on longer with not having the funds to help. We have about 140 on our wait list right now. And that's just because most people don't know My Hope Chest still exists. Mm-hmm. You know, I was on your show years ago, right?
Yes.
I mean, since then, we've just been plugging along here, you know, grassroots charity. I don't care if it's for children, animals, or the environment. It's like pushing a boulder up a hill with a toothpick,
mm-hmm.
you know, really, really hard to raise funds and get your mission heard. But, you know, we're helping women. I want to speak to the positive. Good things are happening. I'm praying, like I said, that this documentary sees the light of day here and we get further along, and that we're able to help more women. And that the big pink ribbons, the Comans, the American Cancers, the Avons of our country,
yes,
start to support My Hope Chest financially. Because if they're not going to help women with reconstructive surgery, then by golly, we're here to do it. We have the program in place, and we just need the funding to do so. It's about $13,500. That's an estimated tissue expander surgery, which, you know, reconstructive surgery takes about a year.
Mm-hmm.
It involves three surgeries and then a final step of tattooing an areola. This isn't a boob job, you know, an AKA augmentation that's $5,000 and you're in and out. It's a very expensive, arduous process. And for My Hope Chest, with small staff, you know, procuring surgeons can take months and months and months through all the red tape and the emails back and forth, and they get to you when they have time and, you know, all of that. So our mission is extremely difficult, but we're proud to do it and we're happy to do it. But, you know, we need to raise more funding for the surgeries themselves. My Hope Chest needs capacity funds to grow our health and all of that. And I'm hoping that, you know, some voices out there will start to, I don't say don't support the big organizations that you have been supporting in the past. I'm not saying that whatsoever. They're doing good work. But I am saying that there are more than two or three breast cancer charities in America. And I personally don't believe, I go on the record, in breast cancer awareness in 2015.
I think we're all aware, aren't we?
Yeah, I think
painfully
it's a marketing
aware.
Word.
Exactly. Yes.
It's become a buzzword. It's a marketing word. People rally their companies, their businesses, and whatever to do events in the month of October, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. We're saying do it for breast reconstruction. Do it for bill pay organizations. That's another organization. I want to give a shout out to a friend of mine who has an organization called The Pink Fund. And we refer people all the time to Molly. I believe she's based out of Chicago. And she gives some funding for people going through treatment that need bill pay. She has her own criteria that you have to, you know, get through as well. But the two areas that I support in breast cancer, three, I would support research. Let's find a cure. The largest funder of breast cancer research, you know who that is?
Who's that?
The largest funder of breast cancer research has been and remains to be the Department of Defense, Army researchers, the DOD. Since 1993, they've allocated $150 million a year to breast cancer research. Okay? Now, that tipped down a little bit during the recession. I think it went down to like 130. Mm-hmm. But that's triple of what the largest breast cancer organization spends in research for the cure. So I just want everyone to know research is being done by other organizations. The government is the biggest. I support breast cancer research. I support bill pay for those that are going through chemo, radiation, their treatment. They can't mm-hmm. work. They lose their jobs. How do they put, you know, gas in their car, food in the fridge, keep the electricity on?
Exactly.
And I support breast reconstruction. Awareness, please. We're beyond awareness now. So, you know, come outside that box and think about what in your own communities. I mean, I would love for people to support my Hope Chest. Obviously, we're helping people all over the country, but, you know, they can look to see what they're doing. You know, if there's a bill pay charity in your own community.
Absolutely.
But, you know, obviously I'm not short on words, Mel, but I think I've kind of covered, you know, what we're doing.
Well,
this documentary is important. Go ahead.
And I think a lot of people don't understand that the breast reconstruction isn't just, as you call it, a boob job. And I also think that people who've never had breast cancer don't know. I mean, I had a lumpectomy, and the thought of having, I had the chance, they asked me if I wanted to do a preventative mastectomy. And I was like, well, no, because that scared the hell out of me. But the thought of going through that surgery for the year. And then on the other side, you have people saying, well, you know, it's just your breasts. It doesn't matter. Well, you know, you're not going through it. You don't know what it's like to be a woman without that. Yes, they are just pieces of flesh, but a lot of people feel that you lose your womanhood without your breasts. So, I mean, there's a lot.
All women feel
most
that. Yeah.
All women feel that. And there's a lot of just mental anguish. And like you said, your friend who didn't let her husband see her for a year. I mean, there's a lot of pain and grief that you could help assuage, I guess the word is, with getting your breast reconstructed.
It's a part of treatment. That's all I can say.
Right.
You know what? Every woman should have the right to have reconstructive surgery. Breast cancer is the most heavily funded cause in our country. There's plenty of money out mm-hmm. there to fund this program. If there's any other programs or programs like it, it should exist, you know, and anybody that has any connections to any celebrities, I mean, you know, God bless them. They use their voices. They come out the other side, you know, and
gotta talk to Rita Wilson.
They often start, what'd you say?
Rita Wilson just had her mammogram or whatever.
She did. And she advocated right for having a second opinion on her mm-hmm. PAL report. Wasn't that what her platform is? Which, of course, I completely support that whole thing.
Yes.
I'm just looking for a celebrity spokesperson for years and years and years, Cheryl Crow, Melissa Etheridge, that have had a mastectomy mm-hmm. that could speak to how they felt having their reconstruction, because what if they couldn't have
right.
it?
Right.
You know, it's easy. I even speak to women that have had insurance and they have their reconstruction. They're like, oh, well, yeah, I had mine. And as if, you know, I'm like, well, what, honey, what if you couldn't have your reconstruction? How do you think you would feel?
Exactly. But that's my point. I don't think people get that. You know, I don't think people get that like you said, it should be I mean, it should just be like, okay, well, you get your surgery to remove the mastectomy, you get your your lymph node biopsy and you get your reconstruction. It should be just like, if that's what you need, boom, 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 as part of your insurance plan, part of your medical treatment, it should be covered. It shouldn't be a question because there's a lot like
or grassroots charities that can help you
exactly
your craft, and that's why we need your voicemail. And I'm so happy, you know, that you're sharing this. I mean, really, it's
my job is to put you out of business. Basically, that's what I'm trying to do.
That's my dream. The happiest day for any charity, like I said,
yes.
Children, animals, the environment. There's enough water. There's enough food. There's enough clothing that we close our doors.
Exactly.
I'm ready. Look, I have a whole nother project, you know, in entertainment I would like to go back to
mm-hmm.
once my hope chest is stable, whether we need to be, you know, we get to close our doors and there's a cure for breast cancer, which is obviously the dream.
Exactly.
Or somebody applies to us and we say, look, we're going to get working on your surgery here and we'll get you going in the next few months. That's the dream. But if people don't know that there's a problem,
right.
Then it'll feel like an eternity for this crusade to go. And
well, I think you're right. I think you do need somebody like a Rita Wilson, because what I read in her, what I took out of her story was like a lot of people don't know about second opinions, which I kind of don't really agree with. I think most people know that they should get a second opinion if there's something as serious as cancer or any kind of disease going on. But like you said, most people don't realize that the reconstruction is basically a part of your treatment. So you do. I think you do need that celebrity voice.
Whether
or not it's, you know, Sheryl Crow who's had the mastectomy, or a relative of hers or a friend or just someone saying, hey, I know my friend went through this, and if she didn't have her mastectomy, she'd be a totally different person right now, psychologically, you know, physically and mentally.
So you know firsthand there as well with someone close to you. Right. You know, you're left for those. I can speak to myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was depressed. I was disfigured and deformed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to come back to Las Vegas. You know, for those of you who don't know, the charity started because I was a former Las Vegas showgirl. And because there was no organization locally in Tampa Bay where I'm from or nationally, I had to return to the stage 5 months post chemo minus one breath.
Right.
They padded my costume. And that's when I, you know, called myself a lopsided showgirl to bring
yes.
attention to the media, because I knew it was media worthy. And that's how the charity began in Las Vegas in 2003. But I didn't get my breast back. You know, I had my second in 2002, and I didn't get my breast back until not 2002, not 2003, 2004, but not till 2005. As a young single woman in my 30s, I lived ashamed and not feeling like a woman. And I was making a living with my body at the time. I wasn't topless, mind you.
Right.
But it was still like the epitome of, oh, my God, how does this happen? You know, when I got the nose, when I called all these big organizations, I'm like, what was it? And where do you send them?
Exactly.
You know, breast centers right now, when we meet them, and we exhibit at the National Consortium of Breast Centers here in Las Vegas to try to educate them on us so they can help us find patients to help. They can help us raise money. They can help us find surgeons. I'm like, where do you send people that come to you for a delayed reconstruction? And they say, we send them, I don't know, you know, American Cancer Society. So, well, you're sending them to
the wrong
black hole
yeah.
because they send them back to us.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, they're just moving the calls along, not really helping these women. We are the answer for these gals. If there's anybody else, like I said, I'd be happy to refer them. But my hope chest is a solution to especially what the delayed reconstructive surgeries.
Yes.
And now for the insured that are not being able to meet these deductibles. Some women only need $2,000 for their deductible, and we can help them with that. You know?
And we're going to end on that note, because I know you know that you could talk for a half hour. And there you go. And
yeah, that's great. I'm happy to say what you need me to say, and I'm never short on words, and I use my time as best I can. So thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome. The website is myhopechest.org. You can find more about the Breastless in America documentary. You'll have the Kickstarter Indiegogo campaign coming up soon. Kickstarter, right? up on that website?
Yeah, one of those, right, this month. And the last thing that I want to just remind is, you know, we need more people doing third-party events for us. It could be any time of the year or in October, you know. Cheerleading groups are doing it, car washes, you know, jeans days at their office. But whatever, I would love for them to pick my Hope Chest this year and make us, you know, one of your new charities. We're so grateful.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, hang on, Elisa. I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. This is Mel Majerus. You can always find me on Facebook because I am a Facebook junkie. Find me on Twitter, at Mel Majerus. Check out my new website, thecancerwarrior.net. And as always, life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.